This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness energy, block bad. Uh-huh. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. Oh, my brain has got me under pressure. It's got me under
pressure. Welcome back into the whole show. It is time for the whole show pressure cooker, Tanner. And on this Friday, it kind of feels like the calm before the storm. Yeah, I know the play-in tournament is next week, but the regular season ends for the NBA, and the NHL regular season will end into next week. So we're all set. The Avalanche can achieve no more in this regular season. They have gotten their they clinched their fourth President's Trophy. The Nuggets still have some work to do. I think there is pressure on the Nuggets tonight to beat OKC. I don't know how they're playing this. I really don't, because I just saw more injury updates, and Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon, are all the starters are listed as game-time decisions going forward. The Lakers to play in a back-to-back tonight. So,
what time did the Lakers play? I guess I could look.
I'm not 100% sure, but I could find that out for you.
The only thing that I'm thinking is, like, are they going to wait?
They play at 8:30 tonight.
They play at 8:30
tonight.
Oh,
they play afterwards, yeah. Well, yeah. There goes that theory.
So, there's pressure, I think, if you're really wanting the Nuggets to get that third seed, there's a lot of pressure on them.
I don't want them to have the third seed.
I want them to be the fourth seed. They could still be the fifth seed.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You want the fourth seed. You want home court.
You want the fourth seed. As long as, like, now I'm getting real picky here, right? Best matchup right now would be 4 versus 5, and it's the Nuggets versus the Houston Rockets. I just do not fear Houston. But the Lakers are done. But I don't want to face the Lakers in that first round, too, if Luka comes back healthy and they start clicking again. I don't want to face the Lakers again. So, I don't know. I guess you just roll the dice and you roll with Minnesota and hope that they've washed all those bad tastes out of their mouth.
Yeah, I'm okay, actually. I'm okay with even the Timberwolves at this point. Nuggets are coming into this fresh. Fresh, so fresh and so clean, Tanner. But my question is this. Is it obvious, like, who is the pressure on the most in these playoffs between the two teams? And I know you're going to say Jared Bednar. We're going to talk about Jared Bednar. But is it also Josh Kroenke? Josh Kroenke fired his head coach, who won them a championship. He fired his GM almost a year ago today with the idea that a different coach could get more out of this group. Well, right now, they're a few games better than they were last year. Obviously, they're on a 10-game winning streak, so the feel going into the playoffs is much better. But what it ultimately comes down to is, can you get them past that hump to make some real noise in the playoffs? If you end up getting, let's say you lose in the first round or second round, you're no better. And it's David Adelman's first year, though. So is there some pressure on Josh Kroenke?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, like you just said, it's a first-year coach. This team hasn't had a real good stint of being together until
year that you don't win a championship, yeah, a wasted year with Joker. So then you can make the argument, why would you fire your veteran coach?
Because you weren't getting there with him. Like, it would have been just doing more of the same. At least this way you got a shot at it. And I think Adelman has proven that, the Nuggets are no worse than what they were under Malone. So already, like, you got to make the move if it was really that toxic in there and your GM and your coach couldn't agree on anything. So I think Kroenke, a year later, I think, yeah, absolutely, Kroenke made the right move in firing them both. The Nuggets are in a good spot right now. I mean, the fact that we're having a conversation about, Denver's got so many good pieces. How are you going to manipulate to keep at least one of them? One of them's going to go, right? That's a great spot to be. It is hands down Jared Bednar. It is hands down, because
this is the best team in the NHL. And if you don't,
yes,
if you don't get past the second round, which is the same thing we were having this conversation before they won their championship a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was, can you get past the second round? Not only did he get past the second round, they won it all.
They have to win it all this year, in my mind. There's not a team in the league, aside from Dallas, that scares me a whole lot. The Avalanche now will have number one, or they'll have home ice advantage throughout the entirety of the playoffs. Only the sixth team in NHL history to be leading the President's Trophy race from November all the way through, and to hold on to that where they didn't slip up once. And that's dealing with injuries as well. What we saw the other night was the first night that they actually had every one of the players they went out and acquired available. This is the most stacked team in the NHL. It's not even close. You don't get it done this year, I don't know how you do, because this team, you've got your captain back. He's been good. Scored another power play goal last night. So you've got that aspect of it. You have to win it. You've got two of the top three players in the world on your team. You've got competent goaltending. Mackenzie Blackwood looked better last night. You've got depth there. You have to win it this year. All of the pressure in the world is on Jared Bednar. If they get bounced in the first, I'll even say, or the second round, he's losing his job. Bednar's not back next year. So I don't know what that that added pressure is being felt. I think Jared Bednar is a hell of a coach, but they have to do it this
year. Well, because every organization does this. If you feel like you have the roster and you're not able to get over that hump, then you have to start pointing fingers at your coaching staff.
And you 1,000% have the roster, and you're healthy. This is the healthiest they've been going into the playoffs. You remember that series against Dallas last year? It was, okay, Landy, we're hearing maybe he's coming back, and there was that emotional. Remember, they lost that game, that Landeskog came back against the Stars.
Yeah.
All the pressure in the world's on Jared Bednar.
Yes, Michael.
So if you fire Jared Bednar, do you consider hiring David Carl? It's his eighth season with DU.
I don't know. NHL teams love to just recycle head coaches, like John Tortorella being the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights now. That would certainly break the chain of how NHL teams normally operate.
They already broke it with Bednar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they didn't know who Bednar was. A lot of people knew who Bednar was.
Roy.
Yeah, bring him back.
Yeah. Because the Islanders fired him with four games left. So I don't know. Mike, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've done a deep dive, because I don't see a world in which the Avs don't win the Stanley Cup this year. And if they don't, I'm going to be the saddest panda in the history of the world.
And if they don't, I'm going to be very nice to you for one day.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, and again, this is what's crazy. They've won the President's Trophy four times. They've only won the Stanley Cup one of those years, and that was 2001. So
yeah.
It doesn't. We know what it means. I mean, even the Avs players are downplaying it.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, that's
not touching it.
That's neat, but we're not. We don't really care. It's just one goal that wasn't really a goal. It's just one chapter completed, so to speak. But the Avs, this was a special season, Tanner. Now, obviously, they slowed down a little bit, but man, the start of the season was amazing for this team, and they ran into a couple of bumps. The power play situation seems like it's gotten a tiny bit better, which will be significant when we get into the playoffs.
Yep.
So I'll be really interested to see just how this plays out.
There's just you try and pick a flaw in this team, and you just can't. I mean, you can't pick a flaw anywhere out of it, and that's what. Yeah. That's what scares me, right? Because you're like, oh, they're unbeatable. And then, let's see here. This is according to Wikipedia, if it's anywhere close to it. The President's Trophy awarded since the 85-86 NHL season for the regular season best record has been obviously won 40 times. Only eight of those teams have went on to win the Stanley Cup. Eight of the 40 that have won the President's Trophy have went on to do that. One of those, you mentioned it, the 2000-2001 Colorado Avalanche, because it was just a couple years ago, the Bruins were just world beaters. I mean, they set the NHL record for points in a single season, and then they lost. So I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but I don't see any glaring weaknesses on this team. The power play has gotten substantially better with what they've done with it. Putting Gabriel Landeskog had one. I had a goal last night, but Nazem Kadri, Brock Nelson, like, they've got the size and the physicality, and then they have elite speed with Marty Natchez, Cale Makar, and Nathan MacKinnon. McKinnon setting a career high in goals last night. It's just it's been a magical season. It has been such a good season that it better end up with that Stanley Cup coming back to Colorado. And if not, Bednar's seat is incredibly hot.
Yeah, I mean, he's got one more year left on the contract, but you don't really want to go into
lame duck year
for Jared Bednar.
And then you hire DU's coach.
That you're all in on that?
I mean,
it's the first time I'm hearing that.
Are you stealing that
from Bruce?
And college versus.
Oh, was this what Bruce was saying today, or is this your own idea?
This is my own idea.
Well, this is a good.
I mean, maybe Bruce said it. That was like 2 hours ago, and yeah, I've already forgotten.
He already forgotten it.
Yeah. No, good for you though.
Yeah,
I looked up his stats
a couple
Bruce
hours.
Said
ago.
That as soon as I walked out of the studio. So I hadn't even seen Micah yet, and Bruce was saying, that's what I'm hearing, is it maybe it will be that? And I don't know who Bruce is talking to. Could be the voices in Bruce's head.
Could be anyone.
Could be Micah. Maybe Bruce stole it from Micah originally.
That's true. Maybe Micah brought it up to Bruce, and then Bruce brought it to you like it was his own idea.
Yeah,
but it was really
be.
Micah who but, started I mean, this whole thing.
Maybe the two of us are just
who's more
on
likely
the same
to be
level,
a bad person
wise.
And try to steal an idea? It's Micah.
Yeah, but so, Bruce could just forget it and then
that is true.
And then take credit for the idea.
That is.
Which we are all.
Both you know. Are, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Maybe he said something and I forgot it. But
did you watch the game last
still
night?
In my
Which
head.
One? The Pios? Did you watch the DU
no,
game?
No, I had the Rockies and the Avalanche on.
I didn't watch any sports last night.
I watched all of it.
I got yelled at for not watching the movies that we review on Friday mornings. So.
I was exhausted though, and then
why?
Well, you know, I can't start a game, and then if it's going to deliver and be a good game, I'm not shutting it off.
Yeah, like I get that if it was a meaningful game,
it was both were meaningful.
But,
the Avs needed to win the best record. You know, to get the President's Trophy.
But it doesn't change anything.
No, but it was a significant game. And the Rockies, I think, at this point, it's just fun seeing them. And I don't have playoffs right now, so.
That's true.
And tonight I'll be watching the Nuggets.
I know you hate this, but I told you, I put the Nuggets and the Avalanche up in a little box on this little shelf, and I'm going to pull them back down in a week. Like, I'm in on the Rockies, and I would have been up watching the Rockies as well. But I need to save some energy. You know, I heard you get on Micah's butt the other day.
Yesterday,
because it's time. It's almost playoff time. That's why I'm like I'm saving some energy up. I am getting rested. I'm on load management right now because I'm going to be up and at them for all of the playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready, but I'm not ready for the stress. I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of stress.
Yeah. When will the first series get underway for those two teams for between the Avalanche and the Nuggets? So we're at least a week and a half away for the Avs, right? Because their last game, if memory serves, is the 16th. It's gonna be stressful.
Yeah, I don't know when do the actual NBA playoffs. I think it's next weekend, isn't it? Because they do the play-in games early next week. Or throughout the week.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right.
And yeah, then away we go. It's going to be intense, man. I think there's realistic expectations around both. Obviously, the Avalanche are certainly more of the favorite to win it all.
Yeah.
But I think suddenly, for some reason, after that Nuggets Spurs game, the Nuggets have really entered that conversation. So, you know, as far as not just the Spurs and the Thunder being favorites to win, to come out of the West. I think the Nuggets are certainly in that mix now.
They are. April 18th is what I'm seeing. Is after the play-in tournament will run April 14th through the 17th, and then the 18th is when the NBA playoffs get underway. And that is the one nice thing about both teams having home court, home ice advantage in that first round. They won't be on at the same time. They shouldn't be, at least, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Well, yeah, no, they can't be because there's ice on the floor, and you don't want to watch Nikola Jokic try and skate.
That would be tough.
He's probably great at it. He's probably so good.
That would
good.
Be weird seeing him
I
skate.
I don't think there's a thing that he's not good at.
He's not a really big jumper. He's not, a, not yeah. an amazing jumper, I would say.
He's above average, I would say, still. For the human average?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think there's...
I think I could out-jump you.
I'm okay.
This July, Big City Roadhouse presents.
We just have little
the high jump.
We have to just start jumping over things.
He wouldn't even re-race me, Micah.
Oh, I hurt myself.
He wouldn't re-race me. We said if
wait
it was
till you
close,
get close to 40.
We said if it was close that the challenger could ask for a re-race. I asked for a re-race on Friday and was denied that opportunity.
Yeah, if I'm injured, I can't race.
There will be a re-race.
Yeah, I'm down
next
for a re-race.
March at Big City Roadhouse, Tanner v. Brady.
I'll do revenge. It. I couldn't do it right after. I got to stretch way more. Way more stretching going to be needed for this.
You will race my son next year. I'm out. I'm just going to.
So you forfeit. I'm 2-0.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, whatever, there we go. Whatever. You're 0-3 now.
Whatever you need.
In station competitions. Faith says, I feel a new challenge coming
up. Yeah, I'm not doing the jumping one. 9-9-9, dude. You won't.
I'm down for that. I've already told you I'm down for that.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, we can go do it. Apparently, you want to do teams, though, and you said I get Michael, who doesn't eat fast and doesn't drink beer. So I feel like I'm getting the raw end of this deal.
We can sub 4 or 5, however you want to do, 4 or 5 normal beers for root beer. Micah?
You could chug some root beer. Can you down one root beer in an inning?
No. can we make it Mountain Dew?
Yeah. One Mountain Dew in an inning. Four or five of them.
And you gotta eat hot dogs, though. You gotta put a hot
dog
down.
Yeah, I have a big belly, but I don't have a big stomach.
Hmm.
Which is very weird. You'd think, oh, Micah's fat. He should be able to fit a bunch of food in his stomach.
I would never think that.
I can't.
I don't go to foundations, but I can tell you that that's just because you don't work any of it off that you eat.
I saw him running pretty fast around here.
Don't lie.
He ran to the microwave.
Oh, that's my true. Hot pocket.
No, it's going to be scalding hot.
But still somehow freezing cold.
How does that happen?
There's some weird anti-science physics going on.
It's always the cheese, too. There's like one block of cheese that's always in there that is just frigid while everything else is. Yeah, am I the only one with this?
No, yeah. You're right. I could never heat up burritos or Hot Pockets like a normal person should be able to.
No, it should be.
It either burns you, and then your next bite, it's frozen.
Yep.
It burns your tongue, so then you burn the skin off the top of your mouth, or the roof of your mouth. And then the next bite, it's like, this needs to be in the microwave longer.
I couldn't tell you the last time I had a Hot Pocket.
No, but they're good.
I lived off of those things my freshman year over at CSU. I lived off of those.
I remember when they had like 12 to 24 different flavors. Now you only just see the two.
The breakfast ones are terrible.
My favorite are the little pizza pocket.
Pizza rolls?
The little pizza rolls.
Yeah, the Totino's pizza rolls.
I could put a bag of those away.
Easy.
Easy bag work, man. I could just...
Maybe we can be a collaborative in one of our challenges.
Oh, I think
we could just have a pizza roll counter going on a live stream.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And see how many pizza rolls...
wonder what the record is.
What do you think our goal would be? How many come in a bag?
What are these called again?
Totino's pizza rolls. I mean, I don't know. I think there's 60 that come in a bag?
There's no official Guinness World Records for the most Totino's pizza rolls eaten. Competitive eaters and influencers set unofficial records. Matt Stoney ate 66 pizza rolls in 1 minute. No, I don't want to eat it like in a minute.
He died 3 minutes later.
Yeah, that would be damaging.
I mean, so they sell them in 130 count. I could eat 65 of those, and we just go till we can't anymore.
You could eat. I could. They don't fill you up at all. I don't even know if they're real food, to be honest.
Yeah, well, they're not.
It's just some kind of weird.
So, are we talking like 200? I mean, they're probably around there.
Could we eat 200 between the two of us?
Yeah.
Now we got to do it. Mike, go grab some rolls. We'll do it this afternoon.
Yeah. 12 pack of beer, too.
Yeah, get a 12 pack
of beer. That's how easy it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to card me.
That's fine.
They're going to be like, yeah, this guy's old enough.
To buy the pizza rolls?
To buy the beer. Actually, there's one of those places where I know they don't check. They sold like cigarettes to a 10-year-old, and I'm like, that place is going to get in trouble with the government.
Big news for all you 19-year-olds out
there. Michael Kirkpatrick is on the case. We've got an undercover Michael.
We've got a flood of 19-year-olds texting and saying, now where exactly is this?
Yeah, where do I go to get this stuff? What is that location?
I think 200 pizza rolls is doable.
Yeah, oh yeah. I could put down 100 of those.
I think so. I know so.
In an hour?
Do you eat better when you're slightly inebriated? Because I do.
No.
I do. You get that right level of buzz. I did that at the wing eating competition that I was in over at the Larimer County Fair.
That was a display of amazing back athleticism.
You want to tap in? You want to do it?
I don't like to eat wings in public.
It's a weird thing, dude.
I don't enjoy that.
Just follow me to the beer tent first.
Yeah.
We'll get you where you don't care.
I don't like to eat. I'm weird about chicken wings in front of people. Now, by myself, it looks like something out of a horror movie. But I know that, so
dirty,
I don't like to eat in front of people.
Beard going on while that was going on, wing sauce everywhere. I think it's only fair that Brian competes this year in IMC. I think that's only fair. I was crushing it for the first 10 minutes of that wing eating competition.
Sean just texting in our old friend Sean Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
No way you boys are crushing 200 pizza rolls in one sitting.
Yeah. Okay,
I'm taking
Sean.
The under.
Okay, Sean. You're on.
Michael, go get them for us right now.
I'd say you guys could get to 50. You can definitely get to 50 over.
Dude.
50 a piece we could easily do.
50 a piece? Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah.
50, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no,
we got to get 100 a piece.
I think 50 a piece you can definitely
like
do.
Like 150? Yeah, 200's fine.
We're doing this next week.
Okay.
Let's do this next week.
200, we got that's a lot of pizza rolls we got to cook.
Could we call one of the medical centers and have them give us an ambulance? There's like an ambulance always parked across the street.
You don't realize in food eating competitions is how quickly you get dehydrated. That was the one thing with that wing eating competition.
I've never done one before.
That was the one thing with me was like, it was to the point where my jaw was starting to hurt chewing on the chicken wing meat. And it was like I couldn't produce saliva as fast as I was eating. So like this is really gross, but I'm yugging mm-hmm. water or whatever drink I had in front of me just so that I could swallow what I was chewing. And so just know that we're going to have a lot of water around on that.
Yeah.
And Sean
says maybe after you try the pizza roll challenge, you should then have your race again or see who could jump higher. No, that's going to be another one where I'm too hurt to go on.
Yeah.
I can't go on anymore.
I think Tanner will, and this has nothing to do with weight.
Yeah,
or
this is
going to
be a fat joke.
Tanner
again.
Will win the eating contest because I think Tanner has done it before.
This would be a collaborative effort, though.
Yeah, this would be collaborative. The 9-9-9, you're going to get smoked. The 9-9-9, you'd get absolutely smoked.
It's not really a matter of who. It's just who can do it, right?
Well,
it's not like who can do it the fastest. You just got to get it done by the end of the baseball game, right?
Yeah, I guess. But then that's a hard. Like, what if I? But if I do
are
it,
are we talking like?
No, we're doing normal dogs.
Normal hot dogs.
Normal dogs.
You put it. We put anything on it.
Yeah, whatever you want. We'll have a wide array of condiments. Perfect dog. Little chopped onions.
Well, Big City Roadhouse said they would hook us up, so we could go over there and do it.
Those are like monster dogs.
Well, they'd have to. We'd probably have to see if they would go get us something different.
So, are you doing the 9-9-9 like during an actual baseball game?
That's what the point of it is. You have to get one beer and one hot dog put down before the first inning is over. And then you restart in the second inning. And
you
third
just
inning.
Have to try and get it done before the baseball game.
Oh, really? I thought it was each.
Not, I mean, if you get two done in the first, three done, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
If you hit a snag over the course of the nine innings.
Yeah, if you hit a snag, you need to take the fourth inning off. You can take the fourth inning.
I thought it was inning by inning.
No,
okay.
I mean that's how they get the 9-9-9.
Right, but I just assumed it was like they're not going to bring you your beer or your hot dog until you're on to the next inning.
And they have it at Coors Field now, and they've gone corporate, and it's a weenie challenge. I mean,
they're little.
Yeah, tiny.
Yeah,
it's like a flight.
And the beer is like just
I think
a
you would struggle with the beer in the 9-9-9.
Well, what kind of beer are we doing?
Whatever you want.
Okay, so you can do a light beer.
Yeah.
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 Light beer is fine.
Nine beers is light work. For a guy like me who has a slight drinking problem, Brady.
Slight?
Yeah.
What's in that cup right there? 28 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break.
Been drinking water.
You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
McKinnon, Jokic, Makar, Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Tanner. So for the Nuggets, the Avalanche got it all set. Everything's set for them. They're going to have home ice throughout these playoffs. For the Nuggets, on the other hand, they have some work to do. If they win their next two games, then it's done. They get the third seed, and they'll be playing Minnesota in the first round. Minnesota's set. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
But a couple of things to pay attention to. There's a chance still that the Nuggets could drop all the way down to a fifth seed. If the Rockets win out and the Nuggets were to lose, the key number there is one. If the Nuggets win one of their last two games or the Rockets lose one more game, then the Nuggets would not be in jeopardy of falling below Houston. So they would finish no worse than a fourth seed.
Who do the Rockets have? They've got the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves tonight, which I can't imagine the Timberwolves are going to be playing for anything.
Memphis on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, there's a chance
Houston wins. Yeah, that's why tonight, if you're 11.5 point favorites, the Nuggets are.
Yeah, I don't see a world in which the Nuggets get to the five seed. Could see a world where Houston finds a way to get to three, and then it's Nuggets four, Lakers five. I don't see. But then again, the Lakers. Who did the Lakers beat last night?
They beat the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry. So
did LeBron go in that?
LeBron had 26 points, 11 boards, and 8 assists.
Ew.
Almost a triple-double for LeBron.
So I think it's just going to stay how it is. I do think it's going to stay how it is. I don't think there's going to be any movement. I think it's locked up.
If the Nuggets don't go tonight, though, everyone's a game-time decision.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, I trust Adelman. I trust Jokic to say, hey, this is what we like best.
Just play it. See if you can get off to a great lead. And let your reserves try to run the show for a while. No, they haven't.
Yeah, that is the going back to the NBA conversation, that just absolutely drives me nuts this time of the year. They're not playing anybody. There's no, it's just dribble, dribble, chuck it up. And if it goes,
that's how Memphis was the other night. They were just playing
Utah seemingly does that every single time that we go up against Utah. I don't know. I'm having a hard time finding the juice in these last couple of games. At this point,
this is how I've been really since the Nuggets became a playoff team. Maybe after that first or second year, the last 10 games or so, it's just
get us.
Let's
there.
Just get there.
Yeah.
Let's get to the playoffs. And
I don't care.
It is, and you have to admit this though. The NBA playoffs, it's a completely different beast.
Yeah. And why?
Because it's the playoffs.
Because they care.
And well,
because
the players also finally play the same team every night, and you develop. Different film study, different rivalry, all that stuff. And it gets tight. It gets combative.
I know you yell at Micah for the no defense in the NBA take, but, I mean, it's hard to argue at times when you watch the defense played in the playoffs compared to the regular season. It's hard to argue that there is.
But I don't like the idea of it's not like the guys aren't flat-out playing defense. It's just guys in the NBA shoot over these guys. I mean, yeah, hands in their face, they're used to shooting.
They're
like
not
that.
Playing defense to the best of their ability.
Like Joker against the Spurs, that was the best defensive output I've seen from him all season.
Right.
And I would imagine you're going to see a lot of that in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I'm at the point now where it should be a foregone conclusion Denver's out of that first round. So I don't care where they are. And then after that, you're going to have to go on the road and win games. Plain and simple. Because you're not going to have home court advantage. So, honestly, I don't care. It's going to be a dogfight. I don't care where you end up. Would it be nice to have that home court advantage, at least for the first round? Sure. But, you know, I heard Kaz on here yesterday talking about, you know, think back to last year and what, you know, with more time that passes, what they did against that Thunder team taking them to seven looks more impressive.
I mean, like Kaz had mentioned too, like they had to help Michael Porter Jr. get his jersey on and off. He couldn't like raise his arm. And you saw that. He couldn't go up for a rebound with that arm. And it was bad.
It got so bad that we were wondering, is he a detriment being out there?
Mm-hmm.
Like at a certain point, it's got to be the next man up. But it's I think it's the three-horse race in the West. I think it's the Thunder. I think it's the Spurs, and I think it's the Nuggets. And you're going to lose one of those teams, in the quarters. Because I'm right in saying this, right? So if everything locked in today, it'd be Nuggets, Wolves, then Nuggets, Spurs, if the favorites held on, and then it would be Nuggets, Thunder.
Yep.
That is the worst gauntlet that you could. I mean,
it's a terrible run
with the Wolves. There
it would be the opposite of their run.
Yeah.
In the 23 championship.
Right. Right. One of the you know, historically one of the easier.
You did have a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
And you faced an eight seed,
right? In the championship. So
he had a play-in team.
Yeah, he had a play-in team that was there.
Because Giannis went down for Milwaukee,
right.
And then Boston.
I'd love to hear what the four-letter network would say and how they would try and dismiss Jokic after this. I mean, if that's the route that the Nuggets had to take, and then they get the healthy Boston team in the finals. I'd love to see how they dismiss that, because that would be one of the greatest NBA runs if they were able to achieve it.
I think so. Yeah, 100%. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKF.
All right, what a week it was, man. I mean, we had a week tell us that the Rockies are kind of coming back. We had a week tell us that the Denver Nuggets are certainly a contender to win a championship this year. A week where the Colorado Avalanche just asserted themselves as the top team, no questions. And also a strange week with the Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini stuff, which is a very bizarre story. What another week in the sports world?
Yeah, it's been good. Masters, you can't get into the Masters at all. Like, there, you will not have the Masters on at all this weekend. No. That's crazy to me.
I know. How is that crazy to you? A person that doesn't play golf and is not a fan of golf is not watching.
Yeah,
golf.
I mean, there's people who don't watch college basketball all year, and then March Madness comes around and it's on the TV. People who don't watch football all year, and then you turn on the Super Bowl and
that's basketball and that's football.
Yeah, Right. But I'm saying there's people out there that don't watch a second of any football, and then the Super Bowl's there, and they turn it on.
Oh, darn it. I forgot to fill out my golf bracket.
I just find it hard watching someone dressed in their church clothes swinging a club and hitting a ball. It's impressive as hell, man. It doesn't do it for me.
I can't.
You're just a guy standing there by himself and teeing off and hitting it.
You know how hard it is, and to watch these guys.
So is chess. I'm not going to watch chess.
Do it to that level of degree. It's spectacular.
It is spectacular. It's very boring.
You are incredibly far off on this one.
It's a very boring sport.
On the Masters, you're incredibly far off. I know, Michael. Like, you're in the same boat with Micah. How does that make you feel? That's my counter argument.
I mean, I'll be watching tomorrow. I'll probably watch the Rockies again, and I'll probably watch, I don't know, the Avalanche or something.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah, honestly, there's something going on in there.
Everybody Loves Raymond is more entertaining than golf. Now, Everybody Loves Raymond is.
It's Raymond, Michael.
Is entertaining, but golf is just like, it's something I think you have to play.
I like to talk about going to the Eaton Country Club there.
Or you have to watch someone lose their temper.
Watching someone golf,
it's one of the two.
Not,
you can't just watch it on TV.
Yeah, you can, and it's a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Drunk.
When you get to know the personalities. What?
You have to watch it drunk.
No.
Probably wouldn't
hurt. Get to know the personalities of their. Get to watch these guys and know. You know, like last year was an instant classic. Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy going into a playoff. It was hilarious watching Jim Nance or listening to Jim Nance because he's building it up. Rory was the career Grand Slam, and he's building it up, and then Rory missed a putt to win it, and it went to a playoff, and then. Jim was trying to recreate that moment. He had burned through all of his cliches and all of everything that he had, and then he's like, it's electric. It's great. It's a great tournament. It's a lot of fun.
Just
the Masters.
Dudes standing around and then hitting a ball. I mean, that's what it is.
Basketball is just dudes standing around shooting a ball.
They literally do not stand around.
They do. They do.
They run.
On defense,
some
they do.
Physical,
right?
They run.
Athletic.
They do
stuff,
on Mike.
They run and
golf,
slam
you just
dunk
turn
the ball.
And move your hips,
yeah,
and the ball moves.
You just turn and hit the ball.
Golf harder than basketball. The greatest.
Well, I mean, you do have to walk
basketball.
A lot.
Terrible golfer. Well, not terrible, but
Steph Curry.
No,
you don't think he could golf?
I know he can.
Yeah.
But that's why those guys love it, is because that's the one thing you cannot perfect.
Well, if professional athletes practiced golf every day like Rory McIlroy does, they'd be good at golf.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I don't know about
that.
Dude,
golf is a game of repetition, and when you're rich enough and you can afford golf,
it's got to start from such an early age. That's why Steph Curry's good.
If you had money,
his dad had him out. Yeah.
Right. If you don't have money, you're not going to be a good golfer.
But like LeBron James, terrible golfer.
He doesn't golf.
He does.
He golfs for fun. He's like leisurely.
He's terrible at it. Golf is a harder.
Because when does he practice playing golf?
What is the stat?
So are we? Who's the guy that smokes cigars and drinks beer all the time? He's a better athlete than Steph Curry.
No, I'm just saying the sport that he plays
because he does it every day, all day.
Yeah.
If you do something every day, all day, you're gonna get good at it.
Watch the Masters. You'll like it.
I'm good.
Watch it.
No.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
The opposite.
I challenge you. 1 hour.
Zero chance of that happening.
1 hour
ever
in
my life. I'd rather go to the library.
The biggest sporting event going on right now.
Not for me. It's not for me. What did we learn? Coming up next.
The Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this Friday? We learned that Denver Broncos' Greg Penner and Kerry Walton Penner buy 40% stake of the Colorado Rockies, which is going to significantly help Dick Monfort get rid of a lot of that debt and potentially use to build up this team even more.
I love it. I love it. I learned that I still want a salary cap in baseball.
Michael, what'd you learn today?
We learned that the Penners are the heroes of Major League Baseball.
The saviors of the Rockies.
You guys are the worst people.
Saviors of the Rockies.
Why have I been in here the last 2 hours?
Thank you, Greg.
I learned that you guys are closed-minded.
Let's rename them to the Penners.
Cheers to Greg. The Colorado Penners.
Instead of going to the Pennant, you're going to the Penners.
Walmart Field, probably. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.